Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the MPSA podcast series. This educational resource has been designed for those in the Managed Print Channel to stay up to date with the industry, current trends, and future directions. Growth through education, one podcast at a time.
Say podcast. Today's team is myself, Ed Mosteller with Perform IT United States, with Mitchell Philby with First Rock Consultants, and Ed McLaughlin with Predictive Insight. Today, what we want to do is discuss where we see the place of managed print in the post-COVID business environment. So I'm going to start off with a question. Either Ed or Mitchell can give their thoughts on. Coming out of the pandemic, what do you think output looks like, especially with the hybrid work environment that is so common today?
I'll jump in right from the beginning. I mean, the output is, there really isn't incredible difference in what's being worked on and what sort of output's coming out. And I don't think COVID had much of an impact on that aspect of it. It's had an impact on the volume of it for sure, because of people not being in the office. And that has caused people to migrate more heavily to some of the more mobile apps and things of that nature that were already starting to garner some of the things that used to go to print. So they'd be reviewed on screens as opposed to being put on paper. But we've seen a lot of that come back. And candidly speaking, when COVID occurred, there were many forecasts about how it was just going to drop and never come back. But I remember having a conversation with, for example, Mike Marusik, and he and I had agreed at the time that what would probably happen is we've been experiencing these 2-3% level declines over the years, that it would level off, that those would be the declines that would actually occur. I think if we look at the volumes that are existing today, that's about what happened. It's sort of come back up, but it's not up ahead of where it was in 2019, but it's certainly above where it was in 2020. And if you look at the decline, it probably looks like a compound 2-3% level decline over that period of time. And I think that's where we are. And the way the hybrid, my opinion on the hybrid, over the long haul, I don't think it's going to make a really big difference in the output or the change in how people do things. People are printing at home. People are printing different reasons. I see people now, and this is kind of an interesting thing, they'll run some projects with ChatGPT on AI. And when they get the data for outline, they print it and read it. I've talked to a number of people that have done that, and it's sort of interesting. Now it's being, prints being used differently. And I think that's the key thing that we need to be focused on, because you really understand how print's being used. In the earlier days, print became part of the workflow. It became the only way to follow and manage unstructured data in a company. And in fact, it wasn't even called unstructured data at that point in time. No one even thought about that term until later into the 90s. But that's essentially what it was. It was the knowledge base of the company. And you found it different ways through micrographics and things like that. As that became digitized, the work environment changed. And now we're finding faster ways to look at that unstructured information and record it and find it and review it. But we still need to come to print, and people still go to print. So print declines, will it continue to decline? I don't think Mitch is going to argue with me on that. Yes, it's going to continue to decline. There's no, because technology is changing the way that things happen, but it doesn't change. It doesn't eliminate print. It just changes the priority of print. which candidly speaking, I think is going to increase the gravitation to MPS. Because as products mature, it's the services that offer the value. People don't want to be bothered with the minutia of manage things on a transactional basis or manage their own cost when things are more commoditized and later in a mature market. So the services become the real value as opposed to the product itself.
Mitchell, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, oh, thank you. Look, the good thing about, the print industry is that everyone has a different lens on how things look because they've got had different experiences and they get different data. So there's not necessarily one truth, but I do know from the data that we get from things like Nextera that we were seeing that print volumes pre-COVID were coming down, and that had been coming down for the last decade. Probably wasn't as visible to a lot of people. And to Ed's point, a lot of the print volume that had been dropping away was actually structured print, came out of the transactional printing world where forms and documents were presented in a digital format rather than being printed and then circulated. So there was a volume drop going on and probably invisible to a lot of office areas, but that was happening in the background. When we hit, obviously, the COVID period, there was a work environment that changed, and Ed's 100% right. We saw that the office environment was affected the most because people were working from home and the office volume actually dropped. It dropped significantly, in fact, originally in the first 12 months of COVID. And it started to claw back, as we came out of COVID, and it's probably only going to come back about to the 80% level. Now, which is quite dramatic because it's a fairly heavy drop. Now, we've seen some peaks, but it's still staying around the 80%. Now, the question is, and I'm not somebody that would, predict the future exactly what's going to happen. There's probably questions about can that come back further. But I guess what we are seeing is we're seeing CEOs and chairmen around the world asking their employees to come back to work. In Australia, we're seeing that fairly predominantly spoken from CEOs that they want people back in the office. And just recently we saw an interview from Elon Musk and talked about, the people who are working on the job 5 days a week who are working in manufacturing, they're forced to work. So why shouldn't the office people come back to work? So even though there's a debate about working from home and being productive and efficient, and obviously management find it difficult who don't have the experience of managing people from at a distance. Volumes may increase, but I do think that the volumes have changed, the top of volumes have changed. I think it's too early to understand that until we have a settled period of consistency back in the office or post-COVID. It only needs about 12 months, 18 months to actually understand that. But I think hybrid, there's a level of hybrid that will stay. Volumes, I don't think will come back to the pre-COVID levels. I think what COVID did, it made transparent what digital transformation needed to occur. A lot of large corporates, even though they talked about digital transformation pre-COVID, they were not ready. They were more mobile ready, but they were not digitally ready. So organizations and the boards, and I've talked to multiple boards, have asked me, Why wasn't my business ready? And most businesses were built on a mobile-based platform, not a digitally first platform. So organizations around the world have been rapidly trying to become more digitally enabled and adopt a more digital native approach. But that takes time as the business needs to reorganize itself. And we're seeing signs of that now, but it's not an easy change because change is difficult. So, what I see is that at the moment, it's really difficult to predict future volumes, but I agree with Ed, print's not going to go away. It's going to work in conjunction with digital environment. It's just about the new way of working. And, there's still, we can count on humans having bad habits, And people still want to print, and it's not just because of millennium or baby boomers. People also crave and they like to actually read things and draw on things. We can't take that away from the creative nature of humans. So I think at the moment, I'm just going to say that volumes have dropped. They won't probably come back to the levels. They will continue to drop as we digitally transform, but it will be a lower volume and it will impact the industry. But I think that's where managed print services is actually a much more effective services model for the CIOs to deploy within their business, because they can then maintain and understand how they increasingly become more digital.
I think you're right. And I also think that, you know, we get some signals from some of the OEMs too. For example, if we look at the strategies inside, for example, HP, it's clear that they're gravitating more and more towards the managed environment. They want to support the managed environment more. They see that trend as the growing trend. One of the questions I remember you posed earlier, Ed, was, what do people do if the volumes continue to drop? My opinion is they are going to continue to drop, because as the processes change, that'll dictate what will be printed. And we have to keep in mind that with technology moving at the pace it is, processes are changing all the time. But it's an interesting environment that's going on right now. We talk about the work from home environment or the hybrid environment, and there's many a person that really felt that that was here to stay. We're going to have that, and it's going to be remote everywhere. I probably was in that camp for a little while myself, but it didn't take long to figure out that a certain kind of company can survive in that vein and others cannot. And we're going to see a move back. There's no question the move has already started. Mitch animated towards it with Elon Musk's comment about the people in the office. But I'll go a little bit deeper for a variety of people. I'm very close to the financial market right now, and they are moving more and more back to the office. And while the employees are pushing back because they like that work from home environment for them, they're getting some pushback from the employees, but the management is firm and they're saying, you're really not on top of the game. The bank closures that have occurred have sort of accelerated the whole thought process of, okay, the culture has changed. And while work from home had absolutely nothing to do with anything that went on there, that's a much more complicated and in-depth conversation. But it will and does impact the disciplines and the philosophy of doing business in those organizations. And they are gravitating back to the office. It's not that they won't have people working remotely sometimes, but they're getting more and more close to that. The technology that drove the mobile, the cloud technology that all the enterprise organizations were adapting quickly, has sort of slowed a bit. They're not migrating to the cloud as fast. In fact, many of the large organizations realized that they migrated too quickly before they had the apps ready to migrate to the mobile environment. And some of them are actually moved some of the apps back to on-prem. And at the same time, most of the support companies are saying we have to move to the edge, which is a step beyond the cloud. And as these things settle and the processes change accordingly, all of that has impact on print, how print is used and what print is used for. So we may get some peaks in areas as people move back and processes move back on-prem. They'll be temporary until they figure out how they're going to work it out and how the edge is going to be operated properly and how we're going to really migrate to that. So there's a lot going on. And in the meantime, there's so much profitability in the print market that we were able to be sloppy in how we manage our business. And I know that Mitch can address that because he's closely associated with the Next Era in the Australian market. And I can tell you from talking to Next Era and being an advisor to them, the amount of waste that's going on in both capital and profitability inside the dealer community is pretty surprising. And these are things that could be managed. One of the reasons that print organizations haven't moved so swiftly to the IT space is because the IT space isn't as profitable, and you can't take your bad habits with you, because those unprofitable, those markets that are not, don't have the same uptick in profitability, won't let you make the same mistakes that you can make in the print industry. So there's opportunity to hone your productivity, increase your operations, increase your efficiency, and it's going to be critical to the success of the people that are committed to the print. And there's a lot of print profitability still available, and will be for quite some years in advance. Will print eventually go away? All things go away. Nothing is forever, but not in our lifetime.
Yeah, that's all very interesting. It's good to hear you say you feel managed print will be not just still relevant, but more important as we move forward. You both discussed the fact that volumes are going down. And so obviously pages are a key element of managed print. What about the actual devices? I know some of the OEMs during the pandemic were going counter to the idea of optimization and consolidation of devices. Do you think we'll see more distributed devices? That strategy will change? You actually have home devices now. What are your thoughts on actual output machines?
I don't want to dominate the conversation, but I have some opinions about that too. You know, I have the saying that old is forever new. And we've been down this road before in this industry. At least someone that's been around it as long as I have has been through it. The move to centralize things was at a time when we had more administrative support in the office. We've gravitated now to where it's all knowledge base employees versus administrative employees. So I don't want someone that's billing out at $300 an hour or doing something that's really important. I don't want them going to a centralized place to go pick up their prints. They should reach across their desk and pick up their prints. We're going to have more devices, less volume per device, more devices at the point. There was a point in the industry where the opposite occurred. But there, that gravitation is a result of the dynamics of the workforce, how the people work, and what's expected from them from a time design standpoint. And also, the hybrid environment further encourages that. Does that mean the elimination of the A3 product line? Absolutely not. It just means there'll be a balance between A3 and A4 in the workplace. Much more of a balance and a gravitation towards A4.
Mitchell, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, look, I'd definitely echo what Ed has just explained, and a couple of things to add on to Ed's comments. One is that we're seeing an increase number of A4 devices going in for a distributed print model. And one of the reasoning behind that is that it's putting a printer at the point of presence in terms of where those users actually need it the most. So we've moved away from that centralization, even though I do think the decentralized, centralized approach is a cyclical process. You know, even though we may not be in an administrative process at the moment, there may be a reasoning in the future that we need to centralize certain applications and volumes so other people are freed up to be more efficient, and that will be technology driving that decision process, but also economics is usually the thing that drives that. So it could be a cyclical thing that we will see again. So it's never ending, and what old is new is exactly what Ed is saying. So it may cycle back. to Ed's point that, you know, what we're seeing is moving away from a centralized process is definitely catering to that now, with A4 engines being at the point of presence. The other thing is that it's not specifically across every market and every industry segment. There are definitely industry segments like health where A4 is required at the point of presence. Nurses can't go to a centralized location because the wards are so big. They are definitely needing, if you're in neonatal areas, you can't dib and dab where you put on all the protective material to take that off to go outside to print. So we're seeing printers now being put into neonatal wards because they need that physical information. So there are reasons and there are applications. If it's appropriate, it's appropriate. So we are seeing more A4s being put into the market because the centralization is starting to diminish in a lot of those vertical markets. And we've seen over the last 2 years, 3 years, an increase in A4 manufacturing, and A4 engines are going in impact to A3. And as we talked about previously about print volumes coming down, those print volumes have actually come off the A3 and they've been distributed to A4. The issue for the industry, though, is the A3 are more profitable, generally speaking, in terms of the service operation for the A3 machines. So that's also the other reasoning that's impacting the industry, because as we move to A4 engines, they become less profitable. And unfortunately, the behavior of the sales organizations, which are the reward and recognition, is still driven for the A3 assets. So the profitability is not there for the OEM's sales organization. So that's the other challenge we're going to be facing with. But definitely we are seeing A4 come in, and then leading into that is working from home. So there was a lot of inkjet going into working from home because it was a low cost model. Organizations are still, enterprise organizations are still mixed in the way they manage those print environments that are working from home. And because of the level of security risk now, organizations will start to probably put a fence line around those devices that are working at a employee's home office because of the issue of viruses. We may see, it's not a centralized model, but definitely a centralized ring around that corporate office to protect them from home user print applications or scanning applications. So maybe I throw that back to Ed, because I know Ed has a really good view of that as well.
Yeah, I'm going to echo too, but I do want to I'm going to divert a little bit on the A4 profitability. From a transactional standpoint, I couldn't agree more. And unfortunately, we spend too much time looking at the transactional machine sale as that level of profitability. But over the life of the device, the A4 is going to be more profitable than the A3. It's going to require less service. You'll still be able to get the same cost per print, and the actual cost structure and the A4 products are getting more and more efficient. So over the time of the contract, A4s will offer even greater profitability than the A3. And as more of them can do more volume and the engineering, you're putting more and more engineering into the A4 products. In addition to that, the chip structure, one of the reasons that we saw more A3s available during COVID is because of the chip shortage. And the manufacturers realize that the same chips go into the A4 products, which they don't get as much revenue per box as they do for the A3. So they use the chips for the A3 devices and backorder the A4s. It was just that simple. It was all economics. And why should I use all my shortages to give something that gives me lesser revenue? But over the life of the product, I think we're going to see more A4s now as that supply chain begins to loosen up, and we'll see more and more of it. So
do you think just on that, it's interesting, both Ed and I are both right, actually, because we're coming from a different aspect. I was talking about the sales organization,
right,
not being profitable selling A4s. And you're totally right that the service operation will be more profitable selling with A4s, because one's volume driven, the other one's commission driven. So that's
it's such a valid point though, Mitch, and it gets to the psychic of the distribution's mentality, because we look at the transaction of the machine as being the motivating factor, which is one of the reasons it slowed A4's adaptability down into the market, because sales reps didn't want to reduce the revenue and dealerships didn't want to reduce the revenue by selling A4 products. My feeling always has been, if you've got a strong A4 line, go out and promote it and displace the other guy's A3, because the only way you're really going to grow in this market, I call it the Genghis Khan method of marketing, you got to go kill the other guy. And the only way to do that is to find better ways in. And you're 100% right. The sales reps look at it as, I'm making a lesser sale and it's not worth my time. But instead of selling one, you may be able to sell 20, and you may be able to get better distribution. And A4 was growing back in the early part of the let's say 2000, between 2008 and up, A4s were accelerating in growth and were the growth part of the market. But sales reps ignored it and stayed away from it, yet they still outsold and were used more widely than the A3 products, because people were buying them. And that has to do with the distributed workforce and the way people use things and paper that's used today. Unless you're doing graphic applications, you don't need 11 by 17. The actual green sheet, which is what really caused the 1117 explosion, was using accounting spreadsheets that were done by hand and engineering applications. So you don't have that anymore. Everything's done on 8.5 by 11, except for graphic applications. And those graphic applications are color, and they'll continue to be A3, all the color stuff. I think you'll see the sharpest decline in A3 is in the black and white arena. And it only makes sense if we stop and think about it.
I'm going to be a devil's advocate on this.
Good.
Because not at what you said, Ed, but when I say this, you'll be on the same page as me. But the issue is that if we're transactional, we're not actually aligned to what our customers need. Our customers need a solution to provide a business outcome. Unfortunately, we're in love. Our industry is in love with the products. We're in love with the brands. We're in love with the application of what they can print, A3, A4, color, black and white. We're still thinking industrial. What we have to understand is that's what not our clients don't think that way. Owners of businesses, CIOs, CFOs, they want to pay for an outcome. They don't really care if it's A3, A4, black and white, if it's pretty or not pretty. They want it functionally delivering an outcome. So until we start to understand it's outcome-based, and we need to align ourselves to deliver an outcome for the client, regardless of A4 or 3, it shouldn't matter. That's where we should be focusing the conversation. And to your point, Ed, transactional, if we're only transactional and we're doing one-off sales of A3, A4, it's always going to be the lowest diminishing statement. I think, you know, that's why the Management Service Association was formed, to address where we need to be aligned to our customer. We understand really well that our customers are wanting outcomes. They want a services model that delivers the outcome. They are leaving it to us, the experts, on what the model configuration or the application configuration should be, but they just want an outcome that these devices work when they are supposed to work, they're available when they are available, and they're doing the application required for that user. Now, on the other side of that, they want it to be financially appropriate. They want it to be fairly predictable in its billing. That's the last bastion that we need to get right, because at the moment, the clients get confused about the billing because it's all over the place. They very much have bought into the consumerization of a services model where it's predictable billing. The CFOs want to be able to predict the billing every month, not fluctuations. And I know since COVID, a lot of the enterprises have been limited in what they're buying in terms of print devices because they don't know what print volumes are actually offering in the office today. Mm-hmm. So I think we just need to always remind the audience that even though it's a conversation of volumes of A4 and A3, that's because we're self-centered about our own situation. But we need to always understand the customer and what the customer is wanting from us. So I guess I just wanted to make sure we restate that somehow.
When you started, I interjected with a bingo because you couldn't have said anything more relevant, in my opinion, in terms of where we are in the post-COVID area. We've had a need to get back to the customer, to be more customer-centric for probably the better part of a couple decades now, at least a decade. And now it's going to become critical. The transactional business model is going to hit a brick wall, and we're going to have to become customer-focused, customer-centric, in fact, customer-intimate. We really have to understand what they want, what they need, and be able to make the right recommendations. And I've been trying to encourage everybody that we transact with to look at the customer reports, use custom reports, and get sales reps to use reports on the accounts so they understand the accounts better. In some organizations, it's very quickly adopted, and they see increases in their operations as a consequence of it. Others kind of ignore it because they really don't focus on the customer as much as they focus on when devices are due and renewal of leases. That mentality was introduced into the industry in 1982 with the Economic Recovery Act under Reagan, where they changed the accounting laws and took what we did off the balance sheet and put it on the P&L, and everything became a monthly payment. And when that happened, we became transactional. Prior to that, there was a very strong account management structure within this industry, and it's been lost in recent years. And they couldn't argue with it because they were getting phenomenal results and people were making really good money by doing it that way. But the conditions have changed, the disciplines have changed, the workflow has changed, the technology has changed, and we're back to a place. And by the way, the Economic Recovery Act is long dead, and we're finding gradually our way back to the balance sheet. So while that migration hasn't fully taken place yet, we're on the way back to the balance sheet. So understanding the account and creating services is critical. That's really where we need to be.
Tied into that, just one final discussion concerning the evolution of managed print. So if we're looking more from a service standpoint, how do you think it's going to evolve, like beyond managed print to like managed services, maybe other internet enabled devices that are managed? Maybe everything becomes more a services billing environment as opposed to transactional.
I look at it all. I think our whole industry is moving towards a services environment, whatever that services may be. I hesitate to say IT services, this services, all that, because it can be misleading. The one thing that we need to do in order to diversify our offering of services is understand what we understand and what we know, where our knowledge base is, where our comfort level is, and understand that when you're selling services, you're selling your knowledge in a particular area. And if you're not knowledgeable about that area and you don't understand how efficiencies are created, that's not a place for you to go. You need to learn. And we have to commit ourselves to continuous learning and start to change the way that we look at the business so that we're constantly challenging ourselves to learn more about the processes that our customers are going through and what sort of technologies are going to help them and what disciplines that we need to put in place to help them get there. But it's a knowledge-based business. Otherwise, if you don't, if you just don't know what you're doing in that area, don't go there.
Yeah, I probably agree, want to restate what Ed said. And what Ed's really saying is that that question needs a lot of unpacking because it's not a simplistic response. And there are so many ways to approach that. And the danger is that if we see everything in black and white, we'll miss the gray or the shades of gray. And there's a lot of nuances in that. So the first thing I'd probably talk about is that, you know, the OEMs today, there are approximately 15 OEMs in the world. That's a lot of manufacturers and a lot of go-to-market inventory that probably can't survive in the next few years. So there will be some industry consolidation. And as I've been predicting, and the team know that I've been talking about this, you know, there will be greater consolidation probably around 2027, 2028 if things remain relatively stable. And what I mean by that is that we don't go into a deep recession anywhere. We don't have extended wars or greater conflict. And we can manage things like COVID going forward. Once we get some stability in the markets and the environment and the workers working from where they need to work, we'll start to see what volumes really look like, and we'll see digital transformation occur at even at a faster pace, and adoption of that will happen. We will see volumes continue to change. That will force the OEMs to react. And as I keep saying, it will be first mover advantage. You don't want to be the last man standing around some chairs and the music stops because there won't be any chairs available. So the first ones that move are going to be the ones that have most advantage. Timing must have been perfect for today's call because we've seen an announcement between Toshiba and
Ricoh,
thank you. Just had a mental block then. And they'll consolidate their manufacturing. And that will be most likely a good stepping stone to see what that can provide as an outcome for those two organizations. But it will probably be closely watched by all the other OEMs.
I think OEM consolidation has to take place. It's what I find interesting is it hasn't been much of it in recent years. It's stabilized for a long time. But if I go back and look at the list of companies that are no longer in the copier business that were there when I entered the business, we would probably take about 20 minutes to me to list them all.
That's right.
So companies probably, it's amazing.
There's another 10 at least, because I remember writing in my book in 2014, the ones that had gone by the wayside. So you're definitely right. The reason why it didn't consolidate early, because as we came out of the financial crisis 2008, 2009, we started to develop managed print services, and most of the OEMs actually, for the first couple of years after that financial crisis, never actually had a P&L called managed print. There were other P&Ls, but they were not consolidated as one P&L. So around about 2013, 14, did we start to see P&Ls called managed print services. So I think that has allowed the OEMs to protect themselves in terms of recognizing what the real facts were, real status of the industry was. But as I said, that as volumes come down, the transparency of those volumes will be made very evident. Because we're still manufacturing based, and what I mean by that is we're an industry that builds machines in volume, and you need volume sales to make sure that margin is achieved in the manufacturing plant. And as volumes drop, that impacts the manufacturing plant. And so they need to consolidate the manufacturing plants first so they can get the unit volume. For example, Australia is only 1% of the global market, and we may not contribute much in terms of the total volume of units being sold, but we still need to contribute, because if we don't contribute, you know, our couple of million devices a year, we actually impact the unit volume globally because the volumes are not being produced in that manufacturing plant. So when every country or every region starts to require less devices, it will impact the manufacturing efficiency and the cost metrics and the margins in that manufacturing plant. until the industry starts to migrate away from that mentality about how they develop their solutions and not based on manufacturing plant model, they will then start to change the industry proper. But at the moment, we're adopting on the edge acquisitions, which don't always fit the print industry. Some are aligned to the industry. They look like it, feel like it, taste like it, but they don't connect as seamlessly as we'd like. And there's a lot of lessons learned. I'm not going to talk to all the lessons learned from all the OEMs that are trying to acquire and going to managed service or other applications. It's a good attempt to diversify, but it's not at the root of where it needs to happen. I think this conversation probably a lot longer. I don't want to take up all the airwaves on that, but I might pass back to Ed to get your views. I know you and I both have very similar views and debates on this. So over to you, Ed.
Yeah, we have. I agree. I don't want to take up too much airway either, but diversifying into services or offering services that are knowledge-based is critical as we go forward. But stay with what you know and stay close to what you know. Mike Marusik, during this sharp meeting, made a comment, and I thought it was just a stellar, spot-on comment. He said, "We know that we have to change, but we're adjusting our sails, not building an airplane." And I think that nails it.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate there. Don't go beyond your core biz. Well,
beyond your core knowledge.
Right.
Yeah, and make sure your core is functioning fully. If you're taking inefficiencies with you to a less margin friendly business, you're going to suffer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate the time from both of you today. It was some really interesting discussion about the state of the business, and look forward to seeing how things pan out. And as Mitchell said, I think we're actually today start to see some of that change and consolidation and the impacts of where the business is going. So again, thanks again for your time.
Oh, I appreciate it. Change is part of life.
It's been
here with us forever, and it's not gone away.
No.
Thank you, Ed and Ed.
Thank you.
To access more great learning content, simply visit www.yourmpsa.org/podcasts. Be sure to check out our membership page as well to drive even more innovation and growth for your managed print practice.